The following shiur has been presented by Rav Daniel Dombrov, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
This week's parsha is Parshas Va'era. We had discussed in a previous year about the ridiculous claim that had come up recently, a few years ago, where there was some motion to make a lawsuit from the current day Mitzrayim against Klal Yisrael or Israel for the damages they suffered by the Makis, and we had discussed it at length why it's absurd and ridiculous, but we went through it in a thorough way. And this year I want to talk more about the fact that, in a sense, Paro himself was the Goyim, was the cause of his own destruction. And ultimately, the Mitzrayim, by Makas Becheres, the Becheres specifically, where they saw Paro's refusal to let Klal Yisrael out was causing terrible harm, and at that point they were going to be the victims, and they actually began a civil war where they killed out, the number of 600,000 people were killed in that civil war. And that's the pasuk that says, L'makeh Mitzrayim bivchayreim. The Mefarshim explain it to mean, L'makeh Mitzrayim bivchayreim, through the Bechayrim. The Bechayrim themselves wreaked tremendous havoc and damage on the infrastructure of Mitzrayim in this civil war, which took place a few days before Makas Bechayres. Obviously, it was unsuccessful, and we know the end of the story. On this note, I want to elaborate on this a little bit more, this idea where one's lack of, not necessarily an action, but a lack of action could sometimes create a chiyuv. And let's just give one example before we get into our main topic, is we find the Gemara in Yuma, and Daf Pei Vav, when it discusses Chilul Hashem, what is a Chilul Hashem? And one of the examples there mentioned is the fact when a person who's a chashuv, a person, does an Aveira, and people are not necessarily aware of that Aveira, and as a result he has to receive an Oynish. And the other people, what they see is, they see a tzaddik who's suffering. And as a result, what do they say? The way Rashi explains it is Rashi, Vakol Emrim, Maha Iluloi, Re'eh Hasid Vachachom Rob Aleihem. That we see these tremendous tzaddikim are having bad. And therefore, Shenemra Vechal Hashem Kachim, Machal Nuhu B'Oimar Aleihem Anochrim, Shagol B'Neim Re'eh Hashem Eila, Yechal Atzilam Shal Yiglu, Nimsa, Shem Shemayim Mitzchal Kvodim Mitzmayit. When Klal Yisrael goes into Golus and they suffer, so the Goyim are going to say, "Look, this is Hashem's people, and He's not doing anything for them." And Shem Shemayim is Mitzchal, and the ones who did the averos are going to actually be responsible for the onish they received, even though Hashem is administering the onish. Nonetheless, because there is a schar va'onish, and this onish has to happen, the one who does the chet that causes it to happen is being gurim in a way, chil Hashem, and will be punished not only for the oinish, but for receiving the oinish itself, which causes the chil Hashem, will be an additional punishment. Obviously, it goes without saying that somebody who's not acting b'tzidkus, and therefore doesn't have this issue, is obviously much worse off, and that goes without saying. But l'fi madregosa, the tzaddik, who does a chet and has to get that oynish, will also be responsible for the oynish and the chil Hashem that he causes. Fascinating idea. So let's move on this basic subject to a more specific example, a little bit more halacha l'maisa, which is the idea, we're going to discuss a little bit about the idea of garmi. Garmi is where somebody causes damage. Similar, we know the concept of grama. Grama is where one causes damage, and generally the grama is pater, bidei adam, and only chai bidei shemayim. The Gemara in Baba Kama and Akainis gives a number of examples. it would be limited to a chivas shemayim. But there's a level, according to many rishonim at least, others, the Rambam doesn't go with this, but a lot of rishonim go with this idea, there's something called garmi, where there's a greater level of cause, either greater action, and I'm not going to go right now into the specifics of what does make something raised up from grama to garmi, but when it qualifies for garmi, then there'll be a chiv even be the adam. It is less than a real mazik biyadayim. The shach says you have to be a pesheya for it. A regular mazik biyadayim is, the Mishnah says is bein b'shegi, bein b'mezeh, bein b'onus, bein b'ratzin, which is not either 100% true at face value according to a lot of Rishonim and, the shita of Tosfos and the ikra shita of halacha, it seems is that you, on a real onus, you would be potter and, even Aynes King Nevatay says your pater, also not our subject, and we're not going to go into the pratim. But Akopanim Garmi, Memalkam Pshia, the Shach says would be Chayiv. Now let's talk about a discussion where, the discussion in the Rambam and Ravid in Evan Ezer about somebody who breaks a Shidduch. So the couple becomes engaged, and probably usually both parties are going to spend money, whether it's the l'chaim, the vart, the gifts, the deposits for the wedding. Generally, there's going to be a lot of money spent. And then when one party breaks the shidduch, if it wasn't for a good cause, according to the Rambam, he's chayav for garmi. And there's a strong motion to pass him like the Rambam. Again, I don't want to give, should it be nogea? Obviously, case by case, and we're not going to give any final psalm, but there's definitely a strong makom to go to halacha like the Rambam, and in which case there would be a chiyuv of garmi for the costs incurred. And the idea is that if there was no good if there was no good reason to back out, so the combination when you make that decision originally to get engaged, you're basically taking a chrayus, so making a decision. It's going to affect someone else that they're going to act on my decision. And we have the same idea, with similar ideas called, the term is leich v'ani ava acharecha, where I tell you, go and I'll meet you somewhere, we'll have a meeting somewhere, and you go to the meeting place, and you spend money, and I don't show up. So I'm going to be responsible because based on what I said, you spent money. And when I don't follow through, I'm going to become a mazik in that, really an original commitment. In other words, to say you're responsible to stick with that commitment, and you're responsible for whatever comes out of that commitment, you're liable for. What's considered a good reason to break it, new information or whatnot is way beyond the scope of our discussion, but let's just discuss where it's not justified, then there will be those obligations for those costs. As a side note, it's worth mentioning, I believe, that very often we're really dealing a little bit with two parties in the sense that the chassan or kala are the ones making the decision to get engaged, and often the party that one would pursue in the event of a broken engagement would often be the parents. Now, is that justified? After all, the parents didn't necessarily support their child's decision to break the engagement. And therefore, why should they be liable? And again, not to say anything conclusive, just, we're not talking halacha l'maisa, just for the sake of discussion, but perhaps one can entertain the thought that maybe there's a minhag of arvus, that the parent is ki'ilu agreeing to be an arev, to be liable as an arev for the child's actions. And perhaps there would be a kayach ha'idei minug, even though there was never anything formally dictated, maybe there would be a kayach ha'idei minug to generate a chiv on the parents, al tzarvus. And like I said, it's just something to think about without coming to any conclusive decisions in our discussion here this morning. Now let's talk about a specific case that came up that I think gets us to our our focus here this morning, which is a case was a couple got engaged, and the as things progressed, the kala, I believe it was stemmed from too much, too much exposure to the world at large, and to the concepts and the fantasies of the world at large, and it resulted in the kala having a fictitious image of what to expect from the chassan, what she imagined the chassan would resemble or would mean to her. And as a result, she felt like she didn't want to marry him, and she was, obviously this was, confusing for her, and she was back and forth, but ultimately it really boiled down to the fact that this wasn't meeting up with her fantasies, and she, like, felt she couldn't marry him. On the other hand, she didn't have the strength to break the shidduch either. And it was pretty clear though that, how they're gonna go through with this if she's feeling this way. The end of the story was that the chassan, ultimately, those vibes came through, he got wind of it, and he, perhaps wisely so, broke the shidduch. And he realized this, it's not a situation he should be getting himself into, and he broke the shidduch. Now the question becomes, who's going to be liable for those expenses? So let's analyze over here. On one hand, the chassan was the one who broke the shidduch. The kala probably, my guess is, would have gone through the motions and gone through the chasana. On the other hand, what that marriage would have looked like, hard to say. Or perhaps we could say what it would probably look like. So, although she didn't actually break it, but she more or less came across that she's not really participating and left with no choice. He had to break it. But he was the one who just did the formality. The real breaking came from the fact that she couldn't live up to her decision, her commitment. And now, is she a poisheya? We said from the shach, you have to be a poisheya for causing these troubles. So, that's a difficult question, but like I said, my understanding was that it was a result of excessive influence from the fantasies of the world at large, and so that could very well be a pshia. A person should be aware that's what often comes about through that type of behavior, and it's really unsafe behavior, and if a person ends up with an issue from it, perhaps we could hit him for garmi as a result of what we could call a pshia. Maybe it was tchilas of a pshia v'sofa ba'enes, and we could start saying that maybe the pshia happened before the decision was made. Again, that's again getting beyond the scope of our discussion. We really just want to bring out the tzadim over here and present the tzad that maybe the kala would be liable as a result of the behavior which caused the breaking of the shidduch, even though he did the actual formality of calling off the shidduch. Let's move on. Let's give another example of this idea. Our example is where we have. Let's talk about another idea of garmi, which is the Gemara Bava Metzia in the sixth parak talks about when you hire a worker, and you go ahead and you break that commitment. So there are a few levels in the liability for that situation. We have the commitment itself. Generates something called mechusar amana, which means that a Jewish person, is obligated to keep his word. That hein tzedek, hein shelachat tzedek is one pasuk. Another pasuk of she'eris yisrael lo yasa avla, that there's an expectation that a Jewish person keeps his word, and therefore a person relies on what you're saying and he expects you to keep your word, and therefore it's a iser mechusar amana to back out. Now, sometimes the situation changes. In that case, the Ramah brings a nidun about it in a Rish Dalid, and there's a strong tzad and very strong tzad to say this halacha l'maisa that it would be if there's a change like a trade tyree, the price changed or some other factor changed, then there would be a strong tzad to say that you would be allowed to back out in that case. That's all where is just a word. What about where, as a result of that commitment, the person gave up a different job? So here again, we get into the idea of Garmi, according to some Rishonim, Tosfos and the Rosh, say it's going to be Garmi, and because again, I'm relying on you, and I let go of that other opportunity, and therefore, you become liable for that other opportunity. And that's the Sma brings us the Halacha. And just to show the extreme version of this idea is because that there is. I'm sorry. Let me just go back a moment. That would be Alz Garmi, and there's another side here, which is that the Nesiva says is really it's a Takana. In other words, it's not going with Garmi. It would be a Takana, and the reason, perhaps, why the Tzatzah say not to say it wouldn't be Garmi, and is that we find by Mevatel Kitzei Shel Chaveiroi, when I, let's say, rather than giving you the wrong impression that you have a job, and as a result of that you are not looking for a job and you lose out that potential job you could have had, but rather I lock up your store. Where you had a job already, you had a store, you were gonna hopefully make a lot of sales that day, and I locked you out of your store, so that's called Mevatel Kitzei Shel Chaveiroi, and there, it's only considered grama and your potter. And this becomes extremely difficult to understand why it should be different, why those two things are different. Some say because it's not as much of a vaday, and if it would be maybe it won't make any sales, and if it would really be a vaday, maybe it would be garmi. The question comes up, in a different scenario, which is also quite common, where somebody will commit to renting an apartment and last minute back out, and we've had these cases many times, and there as well, it would seem to be very similar to the case of the worker. I went ahead and I committed to renting your apartment. Let's imagine that there was no kinyan made, but nonetheless, I removed the advertisement, and therefore I lost other potential people that would have leased the apartment, and then he backs out last minute. So it would seem to be exactly like the case of Payil. Nonetheless, we don't find it unanimously agreed upon in the Paiskim to say Yerchayev. It is it's a little bit of a gray area, and we've had cases where pshara's have been made as a result of that little bit of gray area. And it's really very hard to understand why they would be different. Like the Nesivos, it becomes easier when he says there is a takana, benogei apoyel, that obviously makes it easier to make that distinction. Perhaps once upon a time, apoyel was a more guaranteed to find work than the apartment to find someone to rent it, and therefore maybe that was the kind of was made by Pila, not by other areas or other reasons. For whatever reason why the kind of was made there, it makes it easier to deal with this problem. There's one lecture. The next level would be where the work actually began, and then it would be considered haschalas malacha, which has a din of a kinyan, and the person, the balabayas, the one hiring the employee, once the employee began his work, the balabayas would be chayev, because beginning the work is considered a kinyan, and therefore you're mechuyev to pay for the work, even if you decide to drop the worker. There it's not relevant if he had other opportunities, because it's a kinyan. However, there is a caveat, which is that you will pay a little less, because we call the term of payel batel. That since he doesn't actually, since when you dismiss him, he has a day off, so people will generally be willing to take less to be able to get a paid vacation. They'd be willing to take a little less. There are different numbers mentioned, how much less, and also I don't want to go into that. But we would subtract something based on the fact that he at least doesn't have to do the work, and that's also worth something to him, and he would be willing to take less for that. Now, okay, so that brings us to our Shaila, which is going to be similar to the case of the engagement, which would be where the employee is ready to do the work, but the employer, the balabayas, is putting in a position where he can't do the work. Now, let's just give an example that's extremely contemporary, and this has been coming up a lot lately. And that there's been the last little bit of time here. There's been an epidemic of a disease that has become an issue. And without getting into at all the wrongs and rights over here, but what's happened is that a lot of the institutions or daycare centers feel that they cannot take one of their clients who don't have the proper immunization, because it may put the other children at risk, and therefore they don't want to allow them to come. Now the question becomes, do they still have to pay? Okay, let's accept that perhaps they could stop them from coming. Can they insist they pay anyways or not? So again, that gets into our discussion before, which is that when it's true, yes, the employee being over here, the one managing the daycare is telling the parent that no, you cannot send your child, and therefore, how could you then charge me? But they're not really saying that. They're saying, yes, you could send your child, but you have to just meet these following conditions. If you don't want to meet those conditions, you are, in essence, making me unable to give you the service. And that would, again, get back to our Shiloh, where we would like to say that the employer, being the parent, would still have to pay because they have a commitment to the employee. And if they're not, and if they're making it impossible for the employee to do the work, for example, you hire a painter to paint your house and then you lock the door and he can't come in. And as a result, he leaves because he can't come in. And obviously we're not talking about one day you forgot to let him in, but you're essentially not allowing him to do his work. And he's prepared to do his work, which should you allow him. So it would seem that you should be liable to still pay him because he's ready to do it and you're making it impossible. Now, if you're an oinus, that's a different story. If you have an oinus which makes you unable to allow him to do his work, so generally when there's an oinus, then the payal does not get paid. But the question becomes, is this an oinus? And in our second case with the children, is that an oinus? And that's a question which we're not going to answer that question at the moment. We will mention an interesting Maramakam, Nesivas in Shin Yud Beis, in the beginning of Shin Yud Beis, that mentions a Chuvas Ramah about someone who rents some space in his living quarters to someone who contacts a contagious illness. And the Ramah over there is Mechalek, depending on how contagious it is, can we say Shem Reb Soim Hashem? And again, that would be something we'd have to again determine, comparing, using that Ramah as our base point, where does this fit in? And as well, the question becomes of Roiv. Do we go with Roiv in determining, in saying that the appropriate course of action should be that the parent should take care of this for the child, because based on what seems to be Roiv, that would be the correct way to go. And can that be enough to say that if you choose not to, it's at your own cost, because you can't say you're an oinus. because why aren't you going with Reif? And like I said, I don't want to come to a definitive conclusion on this point. The main idea here is just to bring out the idea that when one party is not enabling the other party to go forward, both in the case of the engagement, where the kala made it pretty much impossible for the chazan to go forward, he was left with no choice but to break it. Or in our example with the daycare, if we're not going to consider this an oinus, then it's basically making it impossible for the daycare to provide the services because they can't have the child there in his current state. So even though it's essentially the worker or the chassid who's backing out, since he was forced into that position, we're suggesting a strong tzad at least to say that there would be the chiyuv of Yidgar Mi or Payel on the other party, even though the formal breaking of the commitment was actually done by the other party.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.